Jesus Christ is God's last word to man. If you want to know God, the prophets can't say, well, here, let me show you who God is. There's only one person who can show you who God is and what God is like, His Son. Because why? Jesus is God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome back to Love Never Fails. We're so glad you could join us again. On Love Never Fails last time, Pastor Bill began an incredible journey into one of the most significant and theologically rich books in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. Today, in the second part of our study on this foundational passage, Pastor dives deeper into the specific ways the writer of Hebrews describes Jesus' supremacy. Now, here's Pastor with part two of God Has Spoken.
The Bible says in Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? No one. How can they? It's God who justifies. Amen? It's God who declares us righteous. It's God, loved one. Listen to me. Jesus said, I say unto you, you have passed from death into life. You're not going to die. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. We're going to learn in Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus has already tasted death for every person, and he's already defeated him who had the power over the death, which is the devil. Amen? Amen. We don't have to fear death. Well, I tell you, my brother, he was fearless. I remember I said, do you ever kind of worry about dying? He said, oh man, I can't wait. I'm going, really? Move. Let me drive then, you know? No. Man, he said, heaven. Do you believe in heaven? I do. I believe Jesus. I believe the Word of God. You can know that you're saved. You know how? Oh, there's many different ways. Let me just give you one of them. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life, meaning God's life. How? Here's the evidence. Because we love the brethren. We love each other. That's why the new commandment's one of the foundational scriptures of this church. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected or is mature or has finally been completed. Love has been perfected among us in this. In what? Listen. That we may have boldness. Ready for this? When should we have boldness? In the day of judgment. Why? Because as Jesus is present tense, so are we in this world. We are so uniquely tied to our Savior. Matter of fact, the Bible says we are already seated with Him in the heavenly places. Amen? And I say, oh Lord, thank you. Listen to me. Then if Hebrews is not about losing your salvation, Bill, then what it's about? It's about sanctification. It's about pressing on. It's about moving on and so forth. Believers today, you know, we hear, and it's really wrong. It's not wrong, but I'm saved. But do you know what that really means? I'm saved. All right, well, tell me, give me some, what does that mean? Well, it means that I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Good answer. Okay, so you believe in Jesus and you're saved, okay? So you have been saved. That's past tense. Amen? Okay, I have been saved. There's only one thing happens at the very beginning. I have been saved. Okay, the tenses of salvation, past tense. Meaning this, Jesus be the Lord of my life. God says, you got it. You believed in your heart. You confessed with your mouth. And I declare you as if you had never sinned. All of your sin as far as the east is from the west, the great doctrine of justification. But justification, loved one, listen to me, the imputed account where Jesus' perfect spotless sinless record becomes yours, into your account, and his righteousness can never change. He is sinless, the spotless Son of God. But that is a past act. I am saved now, okay? And so, that is a one-time act. It's never repeated. It is a fact. It is not a feeling, although you can feel something. I have been saved. And then the next step of salvation is I am being saved. When you were born again, were you immediately the Apostle Paul? No, okay, so the next step, first, justification. The next step, present tense, I am being saved, is sanctification. In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer who is transforming me into the very image of Christ Jesus from glory to glory to glory, amen? In other words, as I grow and mature on this adventure with Jesus, I'm starting to think like Him, act like Him, amen? Okay, that's what that is. And then the next one is future tense. I will be saved. That's called glorification. Boy, when that happens, that's a one-time act. What does that mean? It means whenever you see Jesus, you're going to be just like Him. Man, I'm telling you, that is a wonderful, wonderful day. So these five warnings, are they serious? You better believe they are very serious. And they're not only just written to the Hebrew believers, they're written to every generation, and we are a generation. However, again, they were written to them for this very reason, because of the Judaism, things that were happening. Now, Judaism is now imperfect, okay, or then. And that was the problem. And so the sacrifices, which were so vital to the Jewish believers, okay, the nation of Israel, which were so vital, they're now meaningless. See, there's nothing to return to. Jesus is our final sacrifice, the world's final sacrifice for sin. So 1,500 years of sacrifices, lamb after lamb, could never take away sin. Hebrews 10:4, the blood of bull and goats can never take away sin. But boy, this man, Christ Jesus, He paid it all. Amen? So we need to remember those things. So what is now the theme of Hebrews? Well, it's very easy. Jesus is better. Say that. Jesus is better. The word literally, kreton, I think in the Greek, it's 13 times the writer says, uses better. Jesus is superior to everything. Jesus is superior to the prophets. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses and to Joshua and Aaron and all the Levitical priesthood. Are you following me? Jesus is God. He is better. Oh, loved one, listen to me. Jesus is the best of the best. Is Jesus better than anything to you? Yes. You know, listen, I look and I say, oh, Lord, He's better than anything or anyone. Better sacrifice, better mediator, better covenant based on better promises. So the first 10 chapters, man, we're going to get into, and we're going to have a great time. They're doctrinal, okay? Then the last chapters, they're going to be practical, or that's applicational, if you will. So the theme again, there's just no one like Jesus. Jesus is better, and Hebrews is all about Jesus. Now that is the introduction. Now I have two verses. Are you still with me? Jesus is better than anything. He's better than the prophets. Watch this, superior to them. Verse 1, God, who at various times, various ways, what did He do? He spoke in time past to the fathers. How did He do it? By the prophets. Now listen carefully. Hebrews is the only book that opens like this. In other words, with God. Another book doesn't do that. It begins with the very first word. The writer, he's not trying to prove that God exists. He knows that God exists. But here's what's cool. Not only do we know that God exists, God speaks. And that is so important. How did He speak in times past there in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament? It says He did so in polymeros, or the word there, various, meaning He spoke in many parts. So you have the Old Covenant from when the 39 books of the Bible, the Old Testament, they were written, okay, over a long period of time. And they were only received bits and parts. Does that make sense? They didn't get the full revelation of God is not in Genesis. Amen? So from there all the way through, then you get what we call the progressive revelation of God. Now, and then it says in various ways. That's a play on word in the Greek. The first one where it says various times, that's polymeros in the Greek, meaning again, many different parts. But here in various ways, that's polytrophos, meaning in many ways. So God made His will known in many different ways. Amen? Hey, I mean, was the burning bush for Moses? Amen? Angels and still small voices and dreams and visions and so forth. Now, but the means that God used from Genesis to Malachi, He spoke through the prophets, okay? Now, if you do a study in the Old Testament, you'll find out that 5,000 times in the Old Testament, it says, "Thus saith the Lord," or "the word of the Lord came to me." The prophets. Did you know that Abraham was a prophet? Genesis 20, verse 7. Did you know that Moses and Samuel, Elijah and Jonah, Jeremiah, you know, Ezekiel, they were all prophets? How many prophets were in the Bible in the Old Testament? Do your homework. I'll tell you next week. I think there were 63, I counted. Was David a prophet? Let me give you the scripture. 2 Samuel 23, 1. "Now these are the last words of David. Thus saith David, the son of Jesse, thus saith the man raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel." Listen now. "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was on my tongue." Oh, God spoke in various times, in various ways. But watch this now. "In these last days spoken to us," not just the author of this letter, not just to the Hebrew believers, but to every generation. He is speaking to us right now. God has in the last days spoken to us. How? By His Son. Church, listen to me. Jesus Christ is God's last word to man. Last word. If you want to know God, the prophets can't say, "Well, here, let me show you who God is." There's only one person who can show you who God is and what God is like, His Son. Because why? Jesus is God. Jesus is God's final word to man. He is superior. He is better than any of the prophets, anything in the old covenant. He is superior. But I want you to catch this. God opens this great epistle with, "God has spoken to us." God has spoken to us. When we get to the next or the last chapter, in chapter 12, verse 25, you'll find out where it says, "See that you do not refuse him that speaks," meaning God's word. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, because this is 2023. We're in revolution. We're going someplace this year. It says that God has spoken to us. Does anyone care? Now, I want you to think about what I just said. Does the world care? Does America care? Now, I'm going to ask you something else. Does the church of the 21st century, do we care? Do we really care? Because the five warnings that we're going to cover, listen, they all deal with what God had said. Very, very important. In 3:7 of Hebrews and 3:15, it says, "The Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice." Do you want to hear His voice? It says, okay, then don't harden your hearts. Jesus said, "My sheep hear," John 10, 27. They hear. My sheep have good ears. They hear. And I'm going to tell you something. We are living in a day, in an age, in the church. It says God has spoken to us. And that carries so little weight in the world and even in some of the church today. And that is a tragedy, loved one. Listen, we are moving into our Jordan. 2023 is not a year to this church. It is our Jordan. Amen. It says, God has spoken unto us. God cries out in Isaiah 66, 5, and He says, "Oh, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word." Do you tremble at God's word? How about this one, Matthew 4, 4. Does anyone tremble at that? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So what? Who cares? Does anybody care? Jesus said in John 17, 70, He says, "Oh God, Father, Thy word is truth." So what? Does anybody really care about that? The half-brother of our Lord said in James 1, 21, He says, "Be ye doers of the word," what God has said, "not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I ask you to do?" God has spoken. America doesn't care. The world doesn't care. Congress doesn't care. The Senate doesn't care. If the church doesn't care, then who will? Oh, loved one, listen. Oh, we're going to stand before God at the judgment seat. Oh, well, so what? I don't believe in that. Hell is real. I don't believe that. We've partied down there. Oh, yeah, you know, listen, Jesus is coming. Oh, well, people been saying that for the last 2,000 years. I don't believe that. Time is short. Oh, so what? So what? But God has spoken. God has spoken. You know, there was a man that died this week, 81 years old. They were one of my favorite super groups, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They wrote some of the most unbelievable music when music was real. When we had passion. There's no passion today. You can't even understand the words. But he said something that was really sad. David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, who died last week, spoke about heaven. It says, one day before he died, and he said, I heard the place is overrated and a little bit cloudy. That's sad, isn't it? Sad words. God has spoken to us in his Son. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24:37. Jesus said, but as in the days of Noah were, so also becoming the Son of Man. Were they prepared? Were they expecting? No. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know, but they had been told. They heard God's word through Noah, amen, but they didn't believe it. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. You want to hear the Son? Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, therefore I say unto you, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Isaiah the prophet records what God said, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you're going to build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and all those things exist. In other words, I created everything. I created everything. The earth, God says, I put my foot on the earth. Fort Worth, you're under my foot. Everything is mine. And then he says, listen to what God has spoken. Listen to what he says now in the book of Isaiah. He says, but on this one will I look. This person, this woman, this man, this is the one I will look upon. He who trembles at my word. And I promise you that Judah wasn't trembling at his word. And that may be the condition of the church even today. God, who created everything and owns everything, he says, let me tell you what holds my gaze. Those who read my word, hear my word, and tremble in awe at my word. For my word is divine, perfect, unchangeable truth. Oh, God is good. And they were worshiping him. I can't even go into that. God says, you know how you're worshiping me? You bring a lamb, you bring a goat or an animal up, and it's like you're committing murder. You're not even sacrificing those things to me. And God concludes, and he says, okay, so I'll choose their delusions, it says, and I'll bring their fears upon them. Why? Listen to this now. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. Hear the word of the Lord. You who tremble at his word. God said, I spoke. They didn't hear. In these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son. We should tremble at the transfiguration of Christ. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, when Jesus was transfigured before Peter and them, there was a cloud that came, and a voice came out of that cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Are we listening to him? Are we moving into 23, this revolution, the middle year? Are we really listening to him? The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, it says, he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus said in John 3:3 and John 3:5, he said this, he says, unless you are born again, he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. 2023, what a great, perfect book for us to start out in. You see, loved one, listen, we're like the children of Israel in the sense, what God has given unto you, you have to go after it. You have to take it. You have to take it and appropriate all the blessings of God, all the promises of God by faith. We're going to learn that when we get over into the 11th chapter, even in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. We have to move forward. That's what Hebrews is all about. It's the perfect for us this year. But the fact is that we have to appropriate all the promises of God because God cannot lie, and we do it by faith, loved one. We have to fight. Listen, this year belongs to you if you want to fight. If you don't, it's, you know what? Might as well just, I'm living back in 22. No. Listen, whenever Joshua, God had already given the land to Israel. Amen? All they had to do was go in and take it. He said, the land is yours. So the possession of the land was absolutely unconditional. It was already, God had already given it to them. All they had to do was do what God said. He says, I've already killed. I've given unto the Jebusites and the Girgazites and all the rest of those ites, you know. They're yours. Go take it. You have to cross over the Jordan, though, to go get it. You have to go because you've never been this way before. That's what 2023 is for us. We've never been this way before, but it's going to be like it's always been if we don't take it by faith. Because see, even though the land of Israel, the ownership was unconditional, the possession of it was conditional. They had to fight and go in and do what God said to do. Listen, one more scripture. Boy, this touched me. I was here yesterday and it just filled my office. Psalm 99:1. The Lord reigns. Praise the Lord. Let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim there in the Holy of Holies. Let the earth be moved. And I changed it. I wrote, no, let his church be moved. We have a throne that those who are unbelievers, it says in Hebrews, they have no right to eat of. An altar. It's called the throne of grace. And God says, I want my people to come. It says, let us, it's plural, not just, we can just come, all of us. It says, boldly, with confidence, with freedom of speech, let us come boldly to the throne where there is not one charge leveled against you because Jesus has paid it all. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, the throne of grace. I know the scripture by heart. I want to read it to you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need mercy? Not for salvation. Do you need grace? You have it. Are you in trouble? Is it a time of need? It is a corporate pleading from God. Let us. And Father, in Jesus' name, as a church, your people, the sheep of your pasture, Lord God, we corporately right now, as we close out this service today, we come boldly, because you said that we can, boldly to the throne of grace. Right now, Lord, you see, Lord, look at your sheep. Some are sick. Some are depressed. Some are maybe have a doctor's report that's killing their heart. Some of them are into pornography. Some of them are into adultery. Lord, you know them all. And we've come boldly. Why? Because you said you can help us. Would you help those now? Whatever it might be in their lives and in their heart. Lord, I pray for revival, not man's revival, but the Holy Spirit revival, that this place turn into, again, the altar of living sacrifices where we serve you. We serve you. God, move. Shake this place like you did in the book of Acts. Shake this building. God, fill us all over again with your Spirit, for the day is short and our nation is crumbling and our children are suffering. Oh God, raise up this place for your glory. And the church says, amen. Amen.
Well, we've only just begun to scratch the surface of these first two verses in Hebrews, but the message is clear. Jesus is superior, and it is to him that we must pay careful attention. Thank you for listening with us today. Pastor's Hebrew study continues tomorrow, and we trust you'll tune in once again. God bless, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.